always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
Welcome to the Stool Podcast. Hey, everybody. Yeah, the fanfare, here it comes.
That's definitely not me. That's the actual, whatchamacallit.
You shouldn't have said that it wasn't you, because then no one would have known.
I was just making sure that they knew it wasn't. Just making that
to
noise.
To my left, we got Johnny Savage.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Stool Podcast. Thank you guys for coming. My name is Johnny. You already know. Dude, it sounds buttery off of that thing.
You're loving it.
I love it.
The new
it's
audio.
Way better.
We got a new audio set up. It was a little bit difficult to set up, but we got it.
We got it now. Done. Mick, you know.
What's up?
Mick on the board today. You're going to see me on that camera next week, because he took a bullet for me this week so that I could host or help host. God damn right.
Mick's been the board bitch for like 2 months
running. And today, we have a special guest. We have Kyle Rutschland from Havoc Faction. Boom. Introduce yourself, Kyle. Tell everybody about what you do.
How we doing? I'm the front man of Havoc Faction. Havoc Faction is a multimedia, post-apocalyptic, vigilante-themed rock band.
Oh, that's sick.
That I formed back in technically the end of 2016 is when I actually started recording my first song. I put it out in 2017. So I always say like 2017 is really when I got the band going. So yeah, it's been a 8-year journey.
Nice.
Nice.
Hell yeah. So what was your first song you released? Like when you first released a song, would you call that like the date that it started, or would you, you know, kind of say like it was the heart of it started before that?
Yeah, the heart of it, I came up with the concept in 2016 when my first band, Greenlight Theory, was ending. I think we played our last show, I want to say it was like maybe August of 2016. So that's like, I immediately started working on Havoc Faction after that, demoed out a song. Keyboard Warriors is my first song.
Okay.
So I demoed that out with my friend, and then I went in, recorded that with a different friend who just started becoming a producer, Joel Ferber, the guitarist of True North.
Okay.
He produced my first song. And I was like one of his very first clients. So yeah, it's crazy. It's that's where I got my start. I played the rhythm guitar and bass on it, and then I did all the vocals. Joel actually played lead guitar in there. So it's kind of cool having, I have a couple songs that Joel's actually played guitar on.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool. Havoc Faction is kind of like, I have like a piece of True North.
Yeah. A little crossover
in the
there.
Band. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was the start. 2016 is when we recorded that song, I think in November of 2016. And then I put it out on Bandcamp first, I think in December, but then I officially released it along with, Home Wrecked, my second song in 2017.
So it was kind of like a two song single kind of release.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like the official release when I put it on distribution and everything.
Hell yeah.
On iTunes, Spotify, and all that fun
and,
stuff.
Okay, so to start kind of just cracking into context, so to explain, you put all these, you know, monikers on your project, the post-apocalyptic, you know, you have like a whole like comic book kind of theme to your thing. You have a costume theme to your thing. Explain for our fans and the people who listen to the podcast, like exactly what Havoc Faction does, like the whole narrative, or like if you could crack into it a little bit.
Oh yeah
that
of course.
Sounds fun.
So after Greenlight Theory ended, I knew I wanted to, one, make heavier music, and two, I wanted to be like a superhero, basically, because I was like, dude, I was an actor for a long time, and like my dream was like, dude, it'd be so cool to be like land like a superhero role or be in some sort of superhero movie or something like that. But then I kind of gave up acting, and I was like, what if I did that with music? What if I created a persona where I could be a vigilante character in a band?
Yeah.
And that's cool. Kind of that's what got my gears working. I was like, I was like, dude, fuck it. Yeah, it's be a vigilante fucking rock star. Like that was that was kind of like where that inspiration came from.
It's kind of like how the whole like Bruce Wayne thing is with Batman, but like you're a rock star instead of
a millionaire playboy.
That's pretty sick. That's a cool idea.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say like, yeah, it was kind of actually one thing that did inspire me was Ziggy Stardust. Before he, you know, he reinvents himself as Ziggy Stardust, and then he would go out to parties dressed up as that character. And like, 100% that was his
in character. Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I try to do whenever I go to shows. I would try to be dressed like in the same clothes that I wear in Havoc Faction whenever I perform and stuff. So that was kind of like an inspiration.
Hell yeah, man. I remember when we first initially crossed paths back in the day, it was more or less over more like the comic book stuff and television shows, Beast Wars, stuff like that we would talk about. And I would say that is one thing that kind of always kind of rang with me, is like, oh yeah, this guy, he comes from that place of like, he has like a real passion and love for that element of it, you know? So it's like when I came across stuff like Coheed and Cambria back in the day, I was like, oh, this is so interesting. They have a comic book and stuff. And then I saw you doing something very similar. I was like, oh yeah, he's the type of person to have this kind of project in the hands of. And so it's very cool to watch you. I've seen you build your team. I know you've had some, you know, lineup changes and stuff, but, but everyone commits to the whole persona thing, and everyone has their own persona. That's very cool. You know, I don't know if you want to talk about some of your members currently or anything like that, but
it's been like always, of course, the most challenging thing about being in a band is dealing with lineup changes, band members swap out, things like that. You get some people who are committed for a bit and then you lean on them, but then they end up leaving. And then, and I was like, okay, how can I, you know, it's kind of hard when I'm trying to build this world and have these band members, these faction members, my teammates, and I create these characters for them that they like kind of portray on stage. And then also in like the comic book aspect, which I haven't like released a full comic book yet. I've just kind of always done panels.
But that's very cool. That's already, to me, I think that's the step in the right direction. I still have not been able to bring fully to fruition anything that I've wanted to do, very similar in that vein, like making a comic book that's like done as like a full, kind of piece, you know, along with an album. You know, I've tried to in the past and it didn't take the way I wanted it to, you know, it wasn't exactly what I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. The way you're doing it, I would say is the way to do it. You know, you'd be very adaptable in that way. And like, oh yeah, well, I can release a little snippet of it. And it gives us a little bit of the, you know, kind of perspective of it. And then one day you could probably put together the collection of that and you have the big old graphic novel. That'd be sick, man.
That's actually exactly kind of what I've been doing. Cause like I've had this comic book artist that I've worked with, for my past couple of music videos, and, he does all the original artwork, and then he also animates it, like animation comic book style. And so I'm basically taking all of the original artwork and I'm kind of putting it together into its own like story. So it gives all the artwork, like I'm just kind of giving it all more context. So one, it allows me to budgetly like create like at least it's going to be like, I'm going to use it as like a teaser, like a comic book, like teaser. Cause it's not like the full story from beginning to end. It's just kind of like drops you in the middle of it and gives you context for what was already been established. But for anyone who either one is familiar or not familiar, it's going to give both groups of fans, more context and more to
a little bit of insight into the storyline and. That's good, man. That's cool. Like I said, I think that's really the right approach, man.
Yeah. Do you like Backwards, the band?
No, I don't think I know Backwards.
With Eric July, right?
With Eric July, he has a whole comic book universe that he's built, you know.
Eric July. I do. Okay, I forgot that was his band. Okay,
I feel like there's like a few artists kind of like, not even a lot. It's like a really niche market that are kind of like, you know,
well, that's one of the reasons I thought this was fun. I wish we could have got Brandon on here too. Is all the crossover between people who become musicians who love comic books and love, you know, all that stuff. There's a lot of crossover there of those people, you know, and to me, I think that's fascinating. It just, it speaks to personality types and stuff like that. And when you find people who are willing to go for it, like, you know, actually I want to do this whole concept. Like when I talk about when I did my Chuggy Bear thing, like I'm still very proud of that.
I remember Chuggy Bear.
I'm still very proud of that whole thing. It was very fun. It's still very fun. Mark, I still get like likes on the Instagram page out of randomness. You know, people are like, oh, this is such a fun, cool little thing, you know? But, you know, like to me, that's what I'm here to do, is just like have fun with it, bring different kind of, a different kind of vibe to what being a musician could mean, you know?
Yeah.
But, all right. Yeah. So Kyle, to provide a little bit of, you know, introduction to the podcast, we just kind of basically, we go over, you know, music, we talk about, you know, the different stuff.
Sometimes and we have topics.
Maybe we'll have a topic related. Or two. Yeah. So we'll let you pick. Let's see. We'll throw this. Do you want to get into sharing some of your...
Yeah, let's... Yeah, I want to hear his band. I'm very interested.
Sharing some of your music or sharing some of... Yeah. Okay, let's go for it. Let's do it.
That's what I said.
All right, so what am I doing?
Let's pull up either Someone to Blame or Crossfire by Have Affection.
Yeah, I think I have someone else to blame, like already pulled up, Mick, for you. You just got, yeah, there you go. Hit the full screen, so there you go. Look at that.
Boom.
We have production out here.
it's not perfect.
So yeah, this is the last song that we put out last year. I directed this music video.
Really? So you can add that to your level of credits right there. I'm a director too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. I'm loving it.
My buddy Gene, who he's a great
From Differences, right?
Yeah, from Differences. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I love that guy. Yeah, he's the man.
I've worked with him a bunch.
The sweetest of sweethearts.
Yeah, 100%. And he just gets my vision too. Like, he's so easy to work with. He knows, like... So like he's always like, all right, what do you think of this? How should we establish that? And I'm like, he's so good, so easy to work with. And what he did with this video was so good. Like all of our performance shots.
Production value awesome. Wise, it's amazing. Dope. This looks incredible.
Yeah, I love
it looks
this.
Really Thank great. You. Lighting's awesome. The So when it came to like, you know, directing and stuff and like being in it, you basically, or you're telling him like, here's the kind of the shot I want to set up.
Yeah.
Here's what we want to do here. And then he kind of like does it for you. You guys, on a day like that, are you spending like basically an extra 2 hours like looking back at the shots and then reframing and then redoing stuff like that? Or?
we kind of just do it as we go.
Okay.
And because he knows, like I kind of tell him like what I'm looking for and then he just kind of does it. And then he'll like, you want to check it out? And I'll check it out. I'm like, yep, nailed it. I'm like, he's like, do you want to do a couple more? I'm like, I'll either be like, yeah, let's do a couple more like that. Or I'm like, no, I think we got it. I think we're good. Let's move on.
Nice.
So yeah, we're kind of like, it's like, you know, it's a co-directing kind of thing. But yeah, it was super fun.
The animation stuff.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Who does the animation stuff?
So that's, Andrea from Italy. He does great work. I've worked with him for the past, 5 years about it. I found him in 2020 and he did the same artwork in my Crossfire music video. And then he's also done some extra artwork that I'll commission for things in between. He does a great job. It's very gritty, very like kind of 90s.
I was literally about to say 90s. It reminds me of like The Max. It reminds me of almost like Metalocalypse too.
Metalocalypse,
you know what I mean? Yep. I love leaning into that more hand-drawn style of stuff.
Yeah,
I think there's going to be a wave of that coming back in animation just because people appreciate seeing it. They see the difference now between something that's just easily created through AI or through digital processing. And when you see like an actual hand-drawn, piece of work, you're like, oh shit, this is awesome. You know? So very cool, man. And like, how long did it take you to put together something like this? Like the whole music video, the whole process, would you say hours?
I like this music video.
I would probably say, let's see, we shot all of this in about or...
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
For 5 hours, we did makeup. I had a great makeup artist. Her name is Casey. She did the makeup for the guys.
All the battle damage you guys are rocking.
Yeah. So like everyone has like some cool eye makeup and like that. It's tight. Just to really, you know, just really add to the tone for everyone. And then so we did makeup. Then we went to location, shot that. I think it was like a grand total, maybe 6 or 7 hours for that day.
That's not bad.
Gene knocked out the editing for everything within like, I think within a week, maybe 10 days. Like he knocked it out pretty quick. And then while that was being edited, I had Andrea work on the artwork, and he knocked it out within, I think, like a week or two.
Okay.
And then I put the artwork in myself. I edited the artwork on top of what Gene
said. So like the little interstitial parts are that stuff that you did.
That's all stuff that I kind of put in.
Okay. Yeah. Did you do all like the post editing, like with like all, like we just saw like the TV static and stuff? Is that you or is that Gene?
That was actually Gene.
Okay.
I asked Gene to ask. I was like, please add some like glitchy stuff in the end of it. Can you make it look like it's almost like a transmission?
That's cool.
Being broadcast.
Yeah. Very cool.
Oh,
man.
Look at the cartoon versions of them.
I'm telling you. Yeah. In the middle of the video, they're
there
in
was
there
like
too.
Little like this. But that's cool.
Yeah. No, that dude, I'm honestly, I'm so about what you do, man. I feel like,
I enjoyed that.
You're doing, like I said, when I heard Coheed, they have their comic book and other, you know, bands, they have a comic, like you're really rocking like the persona thing, you know, making it like a part of like the personality of the band. And I think that's cool. A question I've always wanted to ask you is the mask, your mask. Is it a custom thing that like you like got for you? Like, or is it like something like,
I was shopping on eBay. I was looking on eBay, on Etsy, and Amazon. I was like, I need to find a cool mask. Like Nightwing, obviously, is the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, I feel it.
I feel that a lot. Yeah, I hear that.
But a lot of Nightwing masks are, you know, like his mask is very more kind of small.
The slim
like,
domino style mask, yeah.
Where I was like, I kind of wanted like, there's an old school like 80s Nightwing version, if you guys remember that. And he has like a much bigger mask.
Okay.
I was looking for that and it was so hard to find. And I finally found one on eBay, and it was, cause a lot of masks are like 3D printed now. It's hard to find like a good, like leather, like mask. Mm. And I found this one on eBay and I was like, dude, that looks awesome. Right. I was like, I'm just going to order it and see how it fits. So I got it. And I put the white eyes on it myself. Cause I was like,
okay,
I don't want to put Yeah, so that was me. That was me and being a little cosplayer with my limited cosplay skills. I just looked up like what's a clear like white like material that you can like see through, but also will still like kind of white out my eyes. So I found this material, I ordered it, and then I just did some cutouts, glued it on, and I was like, sick! I can actually see through this, and it whites out my eyes. I was like, this is great because. One, you just don't really see the white eyes in like live action comic book stuff.
Right.
It's like a rarity. It's like, you know, we got it in Deadpool and we got it in like Umbrella Academy briefly. But like, that's kind of like been it.
Yeah.
Back in 2016 is when I got this mask and had it ever since. I've been using it ever since. And putting the white eyes, like I love, that's always been a fan favorite thing. Like people have been like, dude, I love that you have white eyes.
I would say that's one of the things that it almost like you mentioned, you know, immediately like, oh yeah, it's an older Nightwing mask. I didn't recognize it at all as a Nightwing mask at all because I think that one little identifying factor makes it look a little bit different. It's the white eyes. Just enough.
Are you like all you guys like in the band have like your own like kind of like a character
personality? There's a whole thing to it.
That's pretty badass. So that's why, because like you can tell, like because everybody has their own like look. You guys look like superheroes or like a more grungy underground like vigilantes. You know, I like that. That was pretty sick.
Yeah, that was the goal. As you know, like as Anthony was saying, like growing up on Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, Beast Wars. You know, these ensemble characters. You know, you want them to have their personalities. You want them to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I had, you know, even when I had to swap out band members, I created a whole new persona for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would talk about it with them. Like, I'd be like, what do you think about this, this, this? If like, you're like, I always go based on kind of their personality, their style.
Right.
You know, I build on that too. I'm not going to like, just create something that's absolutely not close to them. I want them to resonate.
Yeah.
But, So I've created all of my band members' personas, and even some of them come up with their own nickname. Sometimes I'll come up with their alias. I've basically styled everyone. I'll look on online on Etsy and Amazon and just find
them their cool mask things. Or the whole thing. Yeah, and, no, I mean that's cool, man. I think you're putting together your own Avengers, you know,
you know. That's sick.
And Go ahead.
I was gonna say, what's your alias? I think that's
mine is Backdraft. I go by Backdraft.
Okay, I like that. That's cool.
Backdraft is, I came up with that name because, so like all of our personas, we all like, we're called Acklamites.
Okay.
And Acklamites are people that are genetically like altered to have like basically, think of like an evolution kind of thing. Like, similar to X-Men, but not quite as fantastical. More so like kind of gene hacking, which is like kind of like a real science that exists today.
True.
I wanted something more based in science, kind of, you know, still science fiction, but still like...
Where it's like almost seems like it could happen in real life right now.
Yeah. So it's like basically like mine is like I'm basically fireproof, like heatproof.
Okay.
So that's where... The Backdraft thing, it was a firefighter term. I felt like it was a strong word. It's also a Thrice song from their Fire EP.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was like, Backdraft. I was like,
that's cool.
That works.
Yeah.
But
if I throw you in a cryo chamber, you're done though.
Oh yeah. Yeah, dude, ice
that's
is
his weakness. Shit.
Way too cold.
All right, we'll cut that part just to make sure no one, you know, there's none of your villains.
Oh, that's true. My
that
bad.
Doesn't leak,
oh, yeah.
You know, as a
yeah, don't tell my weakness. That's why I wear the jacket. That's why I wear the leather jacket.
Oh, okay, I see.
Keeps me warm.
But we didn't get really into some of your other members, the current lineup, if you want to, you know, kind of go through those guys.
Yeah, so my drummer, he came up with his nickname. He wanted to go by Zero. And I was like, cool, Zero's great. He didn't really have any, he's like, Zero. And I was like, all right, cool, like Patient Zero. So I was like, your acclimation is basically through touch, you can make people immediately like violently ill.
Ah, okay.
That's cool. That's why like, I kind of, you know, the Patient Zero thing.
A little bit of rogue-ish.
Yeah, basically... there's also a X-Men villain named Plague, I think, or Pestilence, maybe, that does the same thing.
Oh, that does sound kind of familiar.
Yeah, Pestilence. It's a superpower. You know, it's
well, there's no new superpower ideas.
That's the famous conversation. We always get, what's the superpower you want to have? And there's the hacky ones to get into. But if you really get into some of the really like deeper context ones, would be a good one to have. There's certain superpowers.
I think about that, and I think like mine always has. First, mine was like invisibility. I'm like, that's cool if I could just go invisible and just
fucking creep.
Of course, I go into women's locker room
and then creep around.
We've all seen Hollow Man. We know where you're getting at.
That was my first one. Yeah, and then as
like the boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Translucent.
Yeah, we know what happens when you that's your superpower.
So that was my first one growing up, right? And yeah, it was because I was like, oh, I can go in the girls' locker room. You know, when I was like 15. But then The other one for me was when I finished watching Heroes, I'm like, to manipulate time would be the best.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I personally, that's become the top of my list. Yeah. Manipulating time has become the top of my list.
That's the best one.
But there's different people with time manipulation powers in comic books where it's like, I kind of don't want the one that actually resonates. It's not from a comic book. The one that resonates with me the most is if I could stop time in the moment that I am just by holding my breath. And that's from Dragon Ball Z. I don't know if you guys remember that.
The character is able to hold his breath
and stop time.
That is kind of sick.
If you could just do that for a second, like, yeah, I could probably get out of any tight situation I was ever in.
Just hold your breath and run away.
And then also that's very good cardiovascular, practice. Your breathing will probably be
really good. Yeah.
What about you, Kyle?
That's true.
If you had any superpower, no limitations.
No limitations. I mean, dude, to have like telekinesis, that's always been
that would be sick, actually.
To actually have the force,
Like, that's true.
Oh man. Like I would just be able to, I would just have so much fun. And also like, I would be so lazy.
Well, you wouldn't really need to get up to do anything, dude.
That would be pretty badass actually.
What about you, Mick? You got a favorite superpower you would want to do?
As far as superpowers go, I would probably want to have, what is that? That see-through walls.
Almost like Shadow Cat, like where you could move through walls. You could like
you can like know what's going on inside of a building.
Like you want to be a ghost. Okay.
Your X-ray vision.
Oh yeah, X-ray vision. That's what there it you is. Go. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Thanks, bro.
Also very creepy like Johnny's.
I'm just saying sometimes
I want to be able to see through anything.
I'm just saying sometimes you see a girl walk in and you're like, damn, I wonder what that looks like real
quick.
It's
so funny. I was like super deep.
I'm not the only one. You guys are
super deep in producing right now and you guys are like asking me pop questions.
He's got a lot going on. He's got a lot on his plate today.
Like, oh, you threw it to me? I was like, dick.
All right. So you want to get into one of the topics?
Well, this is what I was going to ask you too. So are your lyrics for Havoc Faction like based upon like the comic book and everything, like the stories and everything, correct?
Yes and no. So like I try to write in a way where the context of the song, it lines up. Like if you know the story of Havoc Faction, then you can listen to the song and be like, oh, okay, I get where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. But when you take out that context, if you don't know anything about it, any part of the story, it's still very relevant to real life. I get inspired by real life events as well.
Right.
I usually write like when I'm inspired by real life events, and then I try to relate that to Havoc Faction. Sometimes it's the story story inspires the song, and sometimes the song inspires the story. It just kind of depends on where I'm at.
So you
that's cool.
Usually when writing, you'll have an idea in mind and then start building melodically on top of that. Or maybe you'll have a melody in mind and then start building the idea on top of that, kind of do vice versa, combine both.
Sometimes my bandmates will come up with music and then I just write to that music and kind of think about like, okay, what is this song like? What does this song sounds like it should be saying? Because to me, it's like music is very much a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of modern music the issue with a lot of modern music is it lacks the feeling, like the feeling of that song. What does this feel like? So I very much try to think about that when I'm writing. It's like, what does this feel like? And listen to that. That's kind of like what caught my song Conflicts and Confrontation. Cause that was like already kind of written mostly musically. And I was like, what is this song trying to say? And I was like, the song definitely sounds
trying to express the instrumental, like aggression and sentiment that you were getting, when listening to it just with words now.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think of the context of what would Backdrafts say in the world of Havoc Faction. Cause like, that's the way I kind of think of it. Like obviously in the world of Havoc Faction, it's not like backdraft and Havoc Faction, they're not musicians, they're just vigilantes. But the words of the song is like what backdraft, you know, it's taking his thoughts and like, or his actions, like his motives. And that's what's being sung about, basically. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. No, that's cool, man. I personally, like I said, I like the way you've kind of found that balance, and it's cool to watch you continue to put out material and continue to like pump shit out. You know, and like you said, dealing with member changes and that's a weird thing to kind of really have to acknowledge, is that, you know, not only do you have to deal with member changes, you have to deal with creating new personas for your new members and everything. Yeah. And it still is part of your whole storyline. That's actually very impressive, man. I don't know if you know that. Like, I don't know if you realize that. But that's cool. It's that not only are you adapting to keeping your band alive and keeping, but also like, okay, cool. How do I adapt to, okay, this character is no longer here. This character is replaced then. Yeah. And like, that's cool, man. That's actually a very.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
Cool way to go about it. You just got to kill the characters, you know?
Yeah, sometimes I kill them off. Yeah. That's what the whole story of Crossfire is about, because Crossfire came out when I lost my first original lineup. Mm-hmm. And basically I was like, how can I like talk about that? Because I'm basically solo right now. How do I showcase that I lost all the members? I was like, well, I'm going to kill one off, the one that means the most to me. And then that's what's going to cause me my character to basically abandon the rest of them. And then they just go do their own thing. They kind of just, they're like, oh, I guess we're no longer Havoc Faction, because like Backdraft just fucked off.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a place in time where the story, and then I kind of gave a time jump where like Backdraft basically like disappeared for a little bit and then comes back and then has a whole new like lineup that he like recruited, essentially.
Yeah, that's adaptability, man. That's how you got to operate. I think that's really cool, especially when you're doing something. Do you consider it like concept music or concept album?
Oh, yeah.
Or,
we're a full-on concept band. Yeah. What inspired that was Starset, actually.
Okay, yeah, I know. We've talked about that band before, yeah.
Yeah, Starset they showed me what it means to be a concept band, where you just have an ongoing story that this is what your music is about. This is your personas on stage. This is what your music videos are doing. I was like, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to be a little bit easier to digest. I want the story to be a little easier to follow. And I want to have like characters that you can like really sink your teeth into and like root for. Cause like Starset's great. I think they're really cool. They're very, kind of technical with their story, and it's there's a lot to dive into, and like they the way they handle it's so respectful, respectable. Because I'm like, Jesus, how you guys like think of all kinds of shit. But like I'm like, obviously they also have a budget, whereas I don't, so I can only do so much. So I'm trying, but I try to do with what I can. I try to make it look like the band is bigger than it is. Which
we'll cut that too, just like because you know we can't give the audience that peek behind the curtain, you know. But no, I mean, you, dude. I honestly, I, like I said, I, dude, I'm 100% behind you. It's funny, how often you and I have been like, hey, I'm putting on this show or that show if you want to make it or whatever. And you're like, well, actually, I have a show this time. You and I do that all the time. We're like, we'll make the next one. But yeah, no, dude, you're out there working hard. That shit's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. I really love what you do. Thanks, do you want to dig into one of our topics here?
Yeah, I do want to
get into everyone's opinion about this. I thought this was a fun question that I came up with this week. Okay, so would you rather have one of your songs connect with millions of people or have your entire catalog connect with, let's say, several thousands of people under 100,000 people?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So like your whole catalog, everything you do, you have diehard fans, or there's like, you're like a one hit wonder. A lot of people around the world love this one song that you did.
Yeah.
What would be?
I see.
You first, Kyle.
I mean, that it is a tough thing, because obviously, you know, as a musician, it's like, man, to have like the whole, to have a universal song where everyone just knows and loves and it's timeless.
Worldwide success, full-blown like hit, like it, as big as Bohemian Rhapsody, but it's the only one. Nobody cares about any of the other shit you did.
Come, my lady. Like the song
that. Butterfly.
Yeah, dude, I would hate that.
Was that Crazy Town?
Yeah, Crazy Town. R.I.P. Shifty Shell Shock.
Shifty Shell Shock, dude. Ah, dude, I used to love Crazy Town. I had both their records. Yeah,
he passed away like 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's another one of those that just went down the wrong path, man. But you know, he had a good time.
Yeah. He was definitely killing it.
He was definitely killing it for a while.
I got to see Crazy Town live at the Whiskey.
Oh, wow.
12 years ago. Nice. Yeah, it was like back in like 2013 or something. Oh, I was so stoked, dude. They played all the hits, too. They played bunch of stuff off of Dark Horse, like Drowning and stuff. I was like, dude, this is fucking, it was a banging, show. It sounded good. It was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
But I think obviously it's because, you know, I'm making, like right now, I'm making music for diehards. Like my music is kind of niche. So I'd rather have even like 10,000 people
that just are about you, that like they're about your shit, right?
Yeah,
they buy all the merch, they listen to all the music, they're showing all their friends.
I'll just come
all the shows.
I'll blow the load on mine. That's exactly my whole point of the argument.
Yeah, me too.
I'll go 5,000 fans that support my shit to that level, that are like that diehard. I would take that over being a one hit wonder every fucking time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too. I think I agree.
Yeah. What about you, Mick? Do you think it would be more important to have the big single that generations connect with?
Yeah, actually, I would rather have that. I mean, I feel not a single. I mean, for me, it's everything, because it's like if you get what I'm trying to do, the experience I'm trying to serve, you know, because it's like a glimpse into your brain a little bit. You know, when you have like this catalog of music.
Yeah, it's what art
people
is.
Appreciate,
You
know, versus like having one thing, like one hit wonder shit. It's gross.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't want that for myself.
I don't want that. I want the true fans that are going to come and hang out and, you know, go to all my shows. And like,
yeah.
Okay, this is a counterpoint though, sort of. What if it was just like 100 diehard fans? Is that worth it at that point?
I'll still say yes.
Yeah?
I'm going to still say yes. 100?
See, 100, like
at the
10,000?
Level I am now, where it's like I don't need money to pay for my lifestyle. I got my job and everything, is I'm good.
Right.
So if I could just do that, and I do have the 100 that, like, if let's say I put a show together at the Whiskey and they all show up, 100 people show up, that's pretty big. Still awesome.
But you won't be able to live off your music, probably.
Yeah, I don't care about that part, though. I don't care about that part. It'd be so cool that there's 100 people that truly get what I'm doing, really connect with it, sing my lyrics back, all that kind of shit. That rules.
I guess it does rule still.
So yeah, I think the consensus is, fuck a one hit wonder. Fuck a one hit wonder.
Yeah, no, we don't want that.
Yeah. Like I could understand the appeal. Like to have like everyone in the world connect with your song is really cool.
What a tempting thought. Yeah. A real tempting thought.
If there was a genie who's like, look, I can give you 100 diehard fans, or I can have the world connect with only one of your songs.
Yeah.
I would have to sit there and consider, because I'm like, dude, to have like, to be able to travel to another nation, another country, and go into a bar and my song is on and everyone's singing it,
like, oh, wow,
crazy.
You know what that I mean? Would be
but
sick.
But at the same time, you travel to that country and you perform for them and you're playing the show, yeah. You open with your hit, and then yeah. Everybody leaves then, because they don't know all the rest of your leaves. Music. It's like, fuck. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, everybody's out
exactly.
There. And then that's I tough. Got high. And then I got
Birdman. Yeah. Birdman? Is that
no,
who
that's not Birdman.
Afro Man.
He's got one song
yeah.
too.
Yeah, that's a good example. There's a bunch of them
bro,
out there.
You I'm know? Telling you, I literally when I was living in Vegas, I went to one of the Hemp Fest, and he performed just that one song. He was like, "All right, guys, have a good night."
Dude, hey, at least money, he knows dude. His fucking role.
He knows
that's
his
cool. So I bet you everybody in the audience was like. Sick.
We were all like sick because yeah. Then we got a full freaking Dizzy Wright performed his whole shit. Fucking Corrupt performed the whole thing. So it was fine. Wow. And then it was just Afro Man one song and he was like, see you guys.
that's pretty impressive. Honestly, I've never heard of anything like that. Like you know, someone coming in and owning it. Yeah, owning it like that. That's pretty crazy. I did hear that one time, what's it called? Where who is this is how we do it.
Yeah.
Where Montel Jordan.
Yeah. Montel Jordan. He opened up a show with that song and then closed it with that song.
That's awesome.
That's funny. Wait, you ever seen
that's
the video?
Your brand.
You ever see the video of Afro Man where the chick comes on stage and he like fucking cracks her?
No.
You guys never what? Seen that?
No,
one never. Go look for that.
I don't know if we need to look for that immediately, best. But
just whenever he finds it.
He cracks her on purpose. What
because
happened?
She comes on it? Stage, she's all it's drunk. Like, it's Afro Man hitting. She's like he like hits some lady because she
oh
comes on stage
God.
While he's performing.
I've heard of the Josh Homme stuff from Queens of the
so
Stone
funny.
Age. Like I know he like kicked somebody in the face
oh,
on
yeah?
stage once. Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah. I always trip out on that stuff, but man.
She was like drunk and like trying to grind on him, and he's like singing and stuff. Like it was so. It's
wow.
It's wild, dude. It's pretty funny.
What about
though.
Do you? You might know more about this because here's something interesting to bring up. We always try to bring mm-hmm. up like controversial music stuff, but Randy Blythe, didn't he like get arrested?
Yeah, he threw that.
I don't know anything about
it.
I know something that happened, but I don't know much about it.
I don't know
it.
Exactly. From my understanding is he pushed somebody off stage, but they got either they died or they got really seriously injured. I forget which one it was.
And
but
he was
in a different
prison
country. But yeah, he was in a different country. Ukraine, maybe? Or maybe Russia? But so he was immediately taken to
bleep
prison.
Bleep that.
I
Mike.
Forget which one.
Damn.
But yeah, this is the video.
Oh, shit. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What are we doing here? What is this? Oh, no. And he's playing guitar?
Yeah, like you see the girl?
Yeah, I see her in the back. Oh my God! She's not even doing anything!
She's interrupting his solo.
What?
Run that back. Hang on a second.
That's crazy. She's just vibing?
Just put it on full screen, dude.
That's insane. What the hell?
He could have just walked a few steps forward.
Look at what it.
Oh my God.
He could have kept performing. He could have kept performing.
Nah, man, he don't play that shit, dude.
Oh my God,
he's got to perform for the next 2.5 minutes. You think he wants to deal with that?
Honestly, I don't even remember the guitar solo from because
I
don't
know if it was a guitar solo. But I don't think there was. I'm almost 99% sure that's the song he was playing. Though
he was doing a Jimi Hendrix cover, is what he was doing. Yeah, that's crazy. I never saw that. Realized that.
Yeah.
I mean, and now it completely explains why he's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he definitely to her, he was a one-hit wonder.
Top of your head. Let's go round table here. Let's try
to
it.
To her, she was a one-hit wonder.
She wandered on stage and then got hit once.
talk about a one-hit wonder. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. All right. So, Johnny.
Yeah.
Just let's go round table. Let's see how long we could do this. Name a one-hit wonder.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I have to name. I've never already named three.
Oh,
since
shit.
I've been doing this. I said
let's
Crazy
go.
Town. I said
okay,
Afro
fine.
Man.
We started with Crazy Town. Everclear. Go, Mick.
Everclear.
Electric Avenue.
What's the name of the guy, though? I don't know. Okay.
That's why there's a problem with one-hit wonders, man.
Yeah, no, I can't remember. I remember the songs, but not the names.
Exactly.
All right, Kyle.
Oh, dude.
I'm thinking of one right now that I can't think of.
The
name.
Pressure's on, man.
Man at Work.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Men at Work. Yeah, YMCA.
Oh, YMCA. That's a good one.
What's it called? Living Color. Cult of Personality.
Cult of Personality. Yeah, but they're good, though.
They're really good. They're really good, but they really, have a wonder.
Really, it is that one song.
Milli Vanilli. Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Bro, that song likes to party all the time. Party all the time. That
song is incredible.
It's actually pretty good. It's actually
that's
a good song.
Great song.
But yeah, it's funny to go through how prominent one-hit wonder artists are and they're becoming more and more prominent as time goes.
That's true.
With the fickle nature of
most recent one-hit wonder in your brain?
Most recent?
You know the one that sticks
all
out
about
from
that bass, about that bass.
Yeah, there you go.
One that sticks out to me almost as like I want to root for her and like it was almost a bummer that she was a one-hit wonder is Lorde.
Lorde, she kind of was.
That song was
I think she had two songs.
She had a couple like that that didn't take off as good as Royals. You know what I mean?
The Queen Bee one or whatever.
Yeah, Royals was the shit. Mm-hmm. And then she had a couple more good ones, but I thought she was so talented. I personally did. So I don't know.
I thought she was going to get bigger than Lana Del Rey.
Right.
She was basically Lana Del Rey, but
in that same
more
did her own twist. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't Lana kind of cute though? I don't remember.
I can't picture Lana Del Rey what she looks
like. Well, compared to Lorde?
I picture
looking like Taylor Swift, but edgier.
Here's my description of Lana Del Rey.
Isn't Lorde like an older lady?
No, Lorde's younger, I think.
Really? Okay. I'm thinking of somebody else.
My favorite song is from Lorde is I Am Lorde. Yeah.
I Am Lorde. Yeah. Lorde. Lordy, Lorde. Yeah.
Feeling good on a Wednesday.
Still, some of the most
that's
brilliant.
One of the best South Park skits ever.
Oh, yeah. Still South brilliant. Park just ruins everything for everybody.
I feel like I've learned most of my life lessons in a good way. Through South Park.
It's so funny to think about what modern.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
Philosophers look like, because people in the 80s and 90s did that stupid thing where they're like, you know what? We think, honestly, comedians like George Carlin, they're modern philosophers. So it made this weird jokey term out of philosophers. But in comedy, in levity, you find philosophy, dude. You find us aggregating and assessing every little aspect of life,
true.
And that's what philosophy is.
Make
if you do it with a little tinge of humor, maybe people don't take you seriously, but the people who take you seriously, they take away a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's reality, man. And South Park, even shows like Rick and Morty, Simpsons has been infamous for predicting the future. People say predicts the future.
Yeah. Dude, that's weird. Actually, it's kind of crazy.
There's so much of it. Of course, there's gonna be some coincidence that they predict some shit. You know, that is a real crazy phenomenon to watch. You know, as people not able to suss out true knowledge and wisdom because it comes with a laugh.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. What is that, Bill and Ted?
Well, that was cool.
That's
funny.
But yeah, so that's a one hit. Yeah, so I think, like I said, consensus is we would rather be a smaller band with a diehard audience than be a one hit wonder with just that one fickle hit.
Yeah, that makes sense more.
Yeah.
That makes sense more. Just because, like, when you have a show, you're going to like, you know, people are going to watch you and then you're like, oh, these people actually know
who I am. If you
get
a roar after more than one of your songs, that's got to feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If everyone goes fucking ape shit, you know, at the one song, it feels great, I'm sure, every time. But, and you know, like, all right, we're going to play some of our new stuff and everyone starts dissipating.
Right.
How does that, you know, not feel not great? You know, that's I'm sure that feels, that doesn't feel great.
That's true. I think I've experienced that more with my current band than any other project I've been in playing live shows.
You guys have like a song that people attach themselves to?
They like come up to us. They're like, oh, you're the bass player from DNG, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, you guys are sick. And I've never met this person in my life. And it wasn't that they seen us live and were, oh, these guys are sick. It was actually like, you know, younger kids that are coming up to us like, oh, you guys are dope. Like they already know who we are.
Nice.
Which is cool. Oh, yeah. You know, it's a different type of feeling. You know what I mean? I experienced that a little bit when I was younger, like, you know, growing up playing music, but like more so now with this band, because I think we just put so much content out. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like out there. And then with Andy, he's fucking... Andy, they call Andy the mayor.
Really?
Yeah, because he talks to literally everybody. The vocalist in my band.
He is, dude. He's one of the most outgoing guys I know. You may have come across him. Do you know Andres from
Traditions?
He's in Traditions. He's in the band Traditions. He's in guy's band DNG. He's basically the buffest vocalist in Southern California.
Yeah, probably.
He's ripped.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's like, I've met a couple of those guys. But
I'll have to find him on like Instagram and see.
I guarantee you see his face, you're like, I've definitely seen this guy.
It's because he puts the work in. Like every weekend he's at shows like that aren't our shows, you know. He's just constantly going to shows like every weekend.
Smart,
you know, and he's just networking all the time, you know.
Make your presence known.
Exactly. That's one thing that I'm like, man, I gotta do that more, but like who's got the time, you know?
I mean, I'm more of the studio musician at this point in my life. I really have embraced the like, I'll do like 4 shows a year and I'll just pump out music. Mm-hmm. I love just pumping out music. I love sitting in my studio and writing stuff for other people and having them put that out. You know, like that's more where I've found the joy in it now. And then playing shows like, you know, I've been practicing with my band Zaida, like the one I've been getting off the ground for a couple months now. Matt plays, he's the singer, Matt, fucking Young Link. We'll have him on.
Seriously?
He sings for
it. I know he does sing, but I didn't know he was in that project. I thought Zaida was like,
it's hardcore. Yeah.
Right. But it was like a joke thing at first when you first,
that's how I started it. That's absolutely how I started it.
That's great.
I started it as a like bully, hardcore crowd kill project. And I've noticed something as soon as I put up a little bit of music and a little bit of like crowd kill footage, just people started adding the page.
Yeah.
People just like, there's momentum. They just loved it. And so I was like, okay. So like, you know, and so I kept on writing material for it and I keep on, you know, putting out material for it. And there's like a little bit of traction there. And I'm just like, that's fine. Shit. And then, you know, I practiced with my old drummer like a year ago. Like we practiced the songs for the first time. And he lives in Joshua Tree and has all kinds of stuff going on. Mm-hmm.
That's far.
Yeah. So once I found a new drummer and Matt doing vocals, I play guitar. I just play guitar and I do backup vocals. And it's tight. Fun as shit, dude. I get it now. I get crowd kill music. It's so fun. It's so fun just when you're just fucking just swinging.
Aggressive ass music.
Oh my God. It is very fun. It is very fun.
You got to listen to it and want to hit somebody.
But I don't know that's one of the things I've been kind of investing some time in and getting the songs like professionally mixed, which is cool. And
that's dope.
Disgusting ads.
Printful. If you want to make super high quality merchandise, t-shirts and stuff like that, go to printful.com.
Your band needs merch, you know where to get it, huh? printful.com.
All right, you're leaning super Italian now. It's like bada-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Hundreds of different items, mugs, hats, shirts, sweaters, hoodies, anything you want. You could put your logo on, band designs. You could throw it on pretty much everything. Do stickers, buttons, patches, all of it. You can get it printed and shipped and you don't have to leave your house or buy any shipping materials.
Easiest way that you could make merchandise or things that you could share with your fan base.
Get all your merch for your band. You can sell it online. And guess what? They do the printing and they do the shipping for you, so you don't have to do shit else.
You literally just have to do the sharing with people, and then they do all the rest of the work for you.
Yes, easy money. You design the stuff, you share it, and Printful takes care of the rest. Also, you can put Printful with Shopify or something like that and work them together.
Now, Johnny, tell the people how to spell that again.
Printful.com/a/dunce. PRINTIFUL.com/a/dunce.
Pretty good. I'm fucking proud of you on that one.
I thought I wasn't going to get it.
That's printful.com/a/dunce.
Dunce.
Hell yeah.
Let's play the song that Kyle shared with us. How about that one?
Yeah, bring it up.
Which one?
The Fightstar 99.
Kyle, what is it about this song that you wanted to share about?
This song right here is such a great song. Ooh. I love the intro guitar. It's pretty. They recorded this in LA. They're from the UK.
Okay.
They recorded this and then they threw this music video together last minute on the beach in LA.
Oh, sick.
Because while they were out here recording, the label or something was like, we need a video for your single. And they're like, well, fuck it. We're out here. Let's just throw this video together on the beach.
Nice.
And then they add, I just love the use of the, that they just added these like asteroids or something coming,
coming through the side.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun thing. But so this band is one of my all-time favorite bands. And I kind of picked them to share because they're so underrated. They're one of the best bands ever. The singer, Charlie, is reinvented himself as, if you guys know who President is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so President, who's been like making really the popular rounds, lately. Yeah. Yeah, so another masked band, you know.
So this is where
he started. Well, actually, technically, that's a lie. He started in Busted, which is the UK's like pop rock, like Blink 182 kind of band.
Nice.
Who, if it wasn't for Busted, we wouldn't have the Jonas Brothers, because the Jonas Brothers' whole like first record is basically just Busted songs.
Oh wow.
So Charlie has a very rich musical history, but he's one of the most talented musicians, and this whole band they're all just so fucking good. And their music's great. I got to see them live last year in the UK. They played one show at Wembley Arena, and nice. I flew out for it for like, I was out in there for like 4 days. And it was one of the best shows I've ever been to. Like, it was incredible. Loathe opened.
Oh, nice. Everybody loves Loathe.
Yeah, I could hear how they would mix together.
Yeah, Loathe is great. So to have them open was super fun, because I've seen them twice out here in the States, and to see them in their hometown and in the UK, or their home country, was super great. Yeah, sick. So this band's awesome. I love that President's taken off and getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
But I hope people discover that this is like where he came from, because Fightstar is criminally underrated.
We talk about this a lot on the podcast, how weird and nebulous the timeline of music is, where it's like we have young kids now not only listening to like Charlie XCX and modern shit, but they'll go back and listen to the Deftones too.
Yeah.
Because they see it on a fucking t-shirt or whatever. So yeah, like stuff like this where, let's say, they come across President's material, you know, they come across that, and then like, oh, let's dig deeper into Fightstar, and then they become fans of that older music instead of not only just listening to the modern radio hits and shit, but listening to older stuff and understanding it has value. That's one of the things that I think I'm super fascinated with music, is that most of it is ageless.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what, like, I mean, when I was 13, and I was hearing The Doors for the first time, those songs were close to 30 years old.
Right.
Didn't matter.
No.
Didn't matter. I love them.
The Doors.
I like them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like that, we have to apply that to modern times, where it's like, just because modern music is out doesn't mean that all kids, that's all they want is the modern music. Mm-hmm. If they fucking hear older stuff, you know, that connects with them, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So President's is a lot different from this sound-wise.
Yeah,
is it heavier?
Obviously,
it
a lot more like heavier. modern, like, yeah, metalcore.
Yeah, put presidents in the watch. Was it in the name of what? In the name of the father, president.
Yeah, yeah, the father. Yeah,
I heard this. I didn't know anything
this
about
sounds
that.
Dark already.
I just
this
heard like pretty you know, dark. Seen them on IG and stuff like that. I definitely followed them once I heard the snippet. So one thing about IG that I love is like they, you know, they aggregate the shit I like to me. And I listen to a lot of heavy metal and like aggressive metal and like more experimental shit. And this was like pretty intense. I was like, this is sick. But I listened to like this song a couple times, but didn't like, you know, see if they had more stuff. But it looks like they only have a few things out.
Yeah.
So he's a vocalist.
This is the one song they just put out. They just put out a new song like a week or two ago.
Oh, okay.
I like this one more.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for a whole album. I'm excited to see what the whole album's going to sound like.
I already love it. I mean, this is the first I'm hearing it. I honestly, I'm not super familiar. This is the first I'm hearing this, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, dude, it's great. He has such cool, unique vocals. They use some vocal effect in it because I think he was trying to make himself not super noticeable because Charlie has such a unique voice that anyone who knows him could kick him out of a crowd. As soon as I heard this, I was like, oh, it's Charlie.
So you're the big fan. You're like, yeah, I know who this is.
I could tell by the hair, to be honest.
I love too the aesthetic that he's like working forward with. Like it almost reminds me of I don't know if you guys relate to this, but the Keanu Reeves and
Point Break.
There we go.
Yeah.
That whole mask, like, yeah, it's a cool aesthetic to dig into.
The dead presidents.
Yep. Yeah, dude, really cool to dig into that.
Yeah, but
I'm really stoked. What I think is cool too is like with how big Sleep Token has become.
Yeah.
It's cool because it's like, you know, I'm a mask band and I've been a mask band for 8 years and I feel like I was just ahead of my time because now it's like
everybody's doing it now.
Everyone's doing it now. It's becoming like this. And people love it. There's people that are like, obviously there's other people who don't. There's people who call it gimmicks and blah, 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 and they just hate on shit. But there's a lot of people who are like, dude, give me more mask bands. Like they're all into it. Yeah, I'm like, awesome. That's my demographic. I need to.
You're like, let me sneak in here right now. This is my moment.
Exactly. I'm scared. I am a little nervous that like if I do something and finally break that glass ceiling and have a breakout song or breakout album and finally make it into that more broader audience, feel like there's gonna be people talking shit, be like, oh, you just started becoming like, nah, dude, I've been doing this for 8 years.
Exactly. Actually, no, you'll have the receipts, bro. You'll have the receipts. You know,
like even this guy does because he has his band that he's been doing it forever. You know, so it's like you know he's been doing it forever.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I think to me, it's weird. It's kind of a weird terrain to have to navigate these days as a musician because everyone's like they give you the simple advice of stick out, be unique.
Yeah.
But that could mean a million fucking things, man.
Yeah.
That could mean so many different things. It could be interpreted a million different ways, and it could also be executed correctly in a way that connects with people, and then also incorrectly trying to be different, trying to do something unique. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
You know, so it's like it's this whole kind of litmus test process of just like, okay, well, let's see if this connects with people. And then you kind of see, Nowadays, it sucks to have to admit, but yeah, through aggregating through social media and stuff, like, oh yeah, this seemed to have connected with people. This seems to, you know, so that's a weird thing. I wish it was more in the live context where it's like you got to gauge that more often, but that's just a harder mission to accomplish. Yeah, yeah. It's like setting up constant shows and then getting a gauge on your audience at a show is harder to do. Usually it's more successful, but it's harder to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wait, I want to hear that part again. You hear how crazy that sounded?
Oh, dude, the outro is sick, dude. The outro is awesome. That was insane. It goes heavy.
The build up and everything just went insane.
Ooh.
And Mick just freaking left it all quiet. And now I'm mad. You proud of that, Mick?
No, I like what he's doing. Honestly, I don't appreciate you harshing him. I like that he's running the music while we talk.
I know. That's actually cool.
Yeah.
It's better for the copyright and everything, too. Sick, okay, man.
I'm done to get to that. And then we also got favorite lyrics on the docket.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to push when we were talking about lyrics. I was trying to push it forward, but you just keep talking over me. So
I'm sorry.
You see what it says right here? Don't talk over each other.
But define the word each other, because I'm an other too.
Define talk.
Oh no, hey, one thing about Anthony, he definitely knows the definition of talk. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I tell these guys every week, I come here to bring one talent, and that is my fucking loud mouth. That's the only thing I offer to this podcast is that all, I can just talk forever.
The thing is, all of his talents have to do with his mouth.
Right. Right. Johnny gets me. That's why we get along. Is this guy understands the simplicity of what it's like to be a guy like me.
Hey, love it.
We're still living. We're back.
All right.
Hey, we're back, guys.
I hope you guys enjoyed that break. All right. So
Printful, guys. Make sure you guys sign up.
Printful.
You want merch for cheap? So go ahead and sign up.
We were talking masked bands. And we were talking... Kyle, if you want to... I think you were kind of more... If you remember it better.
He definitely doesn't remember what he was in the middle of.
I think the last thing we were saying was like, I believe, at least what I remember, I was saying, I was like, yeah, dude, I feel ahead of my time. But I, like you guys said, I have the receipts. So hopefully people won't be talking
if you're saying if Havoc Faction, you know, takes off and people are like, oh, this guy. Oh,
another mass band.
Yeah, another guy. Yeah. Like I said, you have the receipts, man.
You have the receipts.
You're good. And honestly, I think it's going to be something that picks up in the future. We see it already in mainstream pop. Look at like Lady Gaga, all the theatrics to her show. And, you know, that's a part of like entertainment for people. You know, they love they love the theatrics. They love a performer that provides all kinds of spectacle. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah,
you know,
spectacles.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
But so.
Yeah, very excited. I'm excited for kind of what's going on in music right now. I feel like there's some really cool things. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's kind of this new spark in music, especially with how big Sleep Token has become. It's like, oh, you can make cool out there music, wear a mask, and be massive. That's awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, to divert back to even just a couple years ago, you know, Slipknot, maybe not as successfully mainstream. I don't even want to say that. That's a weird way to put it because I definitely wouldn't say Sleep Token is bigger than Slipknot. Slipknot is a huge name, but to those fans, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To that metal community and everything. But Sleep Token, I would say, is more universally acceptable to the ear for a lot of most people. Like I think that it's more in that, I would compare them more to a band in the pocket of like Breaking Benjamin, but like more successful at what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, it's hard. It really gets very nebulous trying to compare like how big a band could get, how successful they can be with the style in mind. But nowadays, masks don't matter. You know, like masks are cool. You know, people like it. People like it. You know, you want to see something, something original. You want to see a lead singer or a whole band with a persona, you know, a personality that maybe it's not relatable, but maybe it's unique, you know, maybe it's unique and it's a new kind of thing to be, to fantasize about or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think it's fun. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what more is going to be inspired by these bands that have these extra layers to them. So,
hell yeah.
That's fun.
Were you distracted over there?
Sorry, no, I was looking something up.
He's swiping on Tinder, dude.
He's a left, right, left, left, right.
I don't think my girlfriend would like that.
Oh, we found a soft spot for Johnny.
What a little fucking
okay. Cut joke. This, Mick. I'm gonna ask. I'll kick you a little bit of extra cash for some creative editing here because we found a Johnny soft spot. When last week or our last episode, I'm all over here talking about my sister. He's like, "How are your sisters doing? How they doing? Shout out to your sister. This guy, guy.
How they doing, dude?
How are they
Don't
doing?
Don't you start
actually?
Now, Mick. Don't you start now.
Not you. Not you.
Too. Wait, you have sisters, dude?
I have four sisters.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Oh, don't get him started. By, dude. Don't get him started.
When's the family barbecue, bro?
it's so funny. There's a Father's Day barbecue, you know,
happening right now.
Oh, see, if you told me that, I would have driven out to find
out. Oh, you see? Come on, Anthony. We could have been partying.
See, I've been playing my whole music career wrong the entire time. Yeah. I just needed front load my sales pitch with my sisters.
There you go.
Just be like, hey, my band is playing, but guess what? All my sisters and my mom are going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Done deal, dude. Are you kidding me? Your crowd's going to be massive.
That's Don't say shit. Anything about the word massive, Johnny. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I was going to say nothing.
All right. Well, yeah, let's start getting into plugs. That'll take at least 10 minutes doing plugs. It always does.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do that.
What's our time-ish, Mick?
Yeah. Where are we at? What do you think?
We're probably at like 110.
That's like 120. That's perfect. Cool. Yeah. Kyle, throw out all the socials. Throw out all the stuff you want to share.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, you can follow the band at Havoc_Faction. You can follow me at Kyle_Rutchland. Or for anyone who's in the cosplay and comic book community, I have a cosplay account, Kyle Style Cosplay.
And give them a taste. You do Gambit, you do Scarlet Spider. I know those ones.
Yeah. Oh, Gambit's my favorite.
Yeah, he does. Gambit, Scarlet Spider, Nightwing.
The other one.
Nathan Drake from Uncharted are the four.
Oh, that's a good one. I could see it.
Johnny had a man crush on you, dude. He didn't want to admit it, but he was just like, is a handsome guy.
I was going to say, come on, he's acting a little crazy. All I'm going to say now, though, if I catch you in a Gambit costume, I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, shit, dude.
Let me see your cards.
Doesn't give you his calling card, bro.
When's your birthday, Johnny? Dude, I'll show up.
It's in October, so it's perfect.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit, dude. Me too. What's your day?
On the 18th.
Oh, yeah, we're all October babies.
Oh, yeah, October too.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Hell yeah. That's tight. Spooky season.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. It's always been my favorite too.
So you got the cosplay page, anything else?
That's pretty much it. I mean, YouTube, Spotify, my music's all in everything.
Any specific names and music videos we want to share? Get any of those views on those?
Yeah, dude. The best ones to start with, I say, is Crossfire.
Hell yeah.
For anyone who's just diving in, watch Crossfire and then everything after that. I have a bunch of videos on my YouTube channel, but start with Crossfire. I have a playlist that kind of goes of the music videos in order. So I try to make it easy for people.
And that's just Havoc Faction. Search Havoc Faction on YouTube.
Yep. We are perfect. The only band that pops up when you search Havoc Faction.
Nice. Beautiful. Man, is that rare. You're lucky to be able to, like, yeah. with my tension shit, man, I have like three other bands that are inactive, that have been inactive for years now, that like some of their stuff still pops up. I'm just like, man, like I'm the only one still going with this moniker. What's going on here?
Yeah, like take your shit down, dude.
I wouldn't even argue that. I'm like, take it. It's fine. You can have it. Leave it up. But at least let mine be more relevant because it came out in 2025.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why is this other thing coming up when I'm searching it from 2012? Right.
One of my favorite Marvel characters, Havoc.
Want to know a funny story? This is all kind of full circle for my whole weekend. Yesterday, I did Father's Day with my dad. I took him to Frank and Sons. We went there.
Ooh,
and that's that's the action figure I bought. I've been on the hunt for a Havoc action figure for the last like probably like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I bought it with my ex-girlfriend. We bought the, like the dual pack, Polaris and Havoc. Oh, they came together.
That's adorable.
And I let her keep it. And I was just like, man, I'm gonna regret not having that Havoc figure. And so I every time I go to Frankenstein's, that's the one I'm like on the looking hunt for. Yeah. I'm always looking for. And we'll I went to one of the places that I usually go, and I see his normal like exterior, like the glass cage, and I'm looking in, like, do you have any the X Factor Havoc? He's like, no, I don't think so. And then I like go inside the shop. He has another cage. What do I find?
Right there.
X Factor Havoc. And I was like, how much is that? He was like, that's 50. I was like, I had $60 on me. I'm going to be honest. I had $60 on me, but I had the change. I was like, all right, I only got 45. Will you take 45? I got it for 45, baby.
Dude, I'm going to tell you guys right now, when it comes to collectibles, because that's the field I'm in, you can always haggle.
That's what I told my dad yesterday. Haggle it up. Pretend you don't have the money if you have to. You know, just haggle it up.
Because they have a price. You know what I mean? Everybody, they know where they bought it from, what they bought it at, and they know what they can sell it at.
Yeah.
It's like there's that number always.
Yeah, and honestly, it's funny. Like I said, getting into the whole story, and I have it right here. I'll bring up the real quick second of it, but the whole story devolves into I actually had the old school 70s Havoc action figure. That's style sick. One.
Oh wow.
Well, no, it's not from the 70s. It's like a 90s or 2000s pressing one, but it's his old 70s costume. And I just wanted it to have the character. But now that I got the other one, I'm like, this guy's useless to me, right? So I refurbished this action figure.
Oh, sick.
Into, are you guys familiar? Everyone's familiar with Metal Gear Solid?
Of course.
Cyborg Ninja, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll share this with you guys. This is a custom action figure. I'll put it on
you
camera.
You brought it?
I brought it. I have it with me.
I want to see that.
Oh, sick.
Let's check that out.
Yeah, but I made this. I painted it. It was a Havoc action figure. I actually customized his helmet. I found a sword from a Gundam that I have. That's not bad, right?
That's fucking sick.
That's pretty sick,
sick bro.
Right?
Yeah, that is.
Here, check it out,
sick.
Johnny.
Oh, wow.
That's actually sick.
I don't know if you could show it to the camera at all, but.
Dude, this is hard, bro.
Yeah, I made it. Can you see that, Kyle, at all?
Yeah, dude. Wow.
Hell yeah.
It's got a lot of detail on it, too.
Oh, wow, good job.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty proud of that.
That's sick, dude.
I would say it turned out pretty good, all things considered. I'll just like impromptu. I'll just put this guy here. He's going to come with me to every podcast. He's just going to be there.
There you go.
Just hang out.
Dude, that's awesome.
All right. So yeah, that's all your plugs, Kyle?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He's getting comfortable
easy.
Right there.
I am. It's Sunday, dude. It's
yeah,
the
let
Lord
the man
day,
be comfortable. It's a day of rest.
This is how you know he's comfortable. He's got the pillow on his stomach.
Oh, yeah, dude. On my Blue Beetle. Fuck it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Hell yeah.
This is like one of my favorite lounge shirts.
And when he knocks out on the couch, he's going to have good dreams because I seen the dream catcher in the back.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah. Where is that?
All right, Johnny, plugs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks for watching the Stool Podcast. Kyle, thank you very much for coming on. You guys can check me out on IG at Johnny Savage, JonnySavag. Check out my band, DNG Heavy, on IG, and also The Dunce Official, which is mine and Mick's project. You can find that on IG also. And pretty much all those names are all on like every platform. So super easy. Appreciate you guys listening. Episode 40. We're 10 away
there.
From nice. 50, guys. This is amazing.
10 away from 50 episodes. That's crazy, man. That's a lot of content. If you really,
this is 40.
This is episode 40. Yeah.
Yep.
Hell so, yeah. Milestone, baby.
Gotta be a milestone.
A Kyle Stone.
Oh,
we got a Kyle Stone episode. There we go.
That's the episode name.
Kyle Stone. Oh no, my ninja dropped. It's fine. He'll be all right.
He lost his
He's
sword.
Hardcore.
Mick, go ahead.
He just committed suicide. Dude.
Yeah. You fucking Harikari.
Yes. So, yeah, you can find me on Instagram at NewMixGiven. Also, too, I got Cherry Coyote currently mixing that one right now. It sounds really fucking good. You guys are gonna really like that.
The songs are the shit. Honestly, it's gonna be a full album now. He keeps on adding like. Well, other songs.
I'm trying to find stuff to be a A-side proper. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to get a collection of songs that just sound really good together. And,
nice.
And then, you know, once obviously the rest of them do sound like a B-side. So who knows, maybe like a
a deluxe version and an original version.
Yeah, so you can check that out. I'm posting stuff when I can on Instagram or whatever social media you guys have at Cherry Coyote. And Mixtradamus, I have a new single coming out next week. Wanted to go ahead and give that a shout out. And kick it over to you, Anthony, right?
Yeah, I'll wrap it up for us. You guys know where to find me at Ranthony John on Instagram. Follow my band Dead Widow CA. Dead Widow CA on Instagram. We actually are pretty close to putting out what's going to be another EP. We thought we had a couple singles, but we have some material and it's fun, and so we're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Also, promoting Witch, the band. We're going to be playing shows this summer. It's honestly a lot of exciting news that I cannot share there because of actual official business style non-disclosure stuff, but nice. Very exciting news stuff. And make sure you guys like and subscribe this podcast, obviously, you know.
Yes, please.
Hit any sort of notification links that you want to. We want to keep up with this podcast. And that's been The Stool. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank our guest, Kyle Rutschland. And thanks, Johnny, Kyle. Mick, you guys are my bros. We love you guys for listening. And that's it.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Kyle, guys. It was a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you
for coming
on.
Hung in there till the end with us.
Yeah. That
was fun. There till the end.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Love you guys. Bye.